there are multiple paths to make your income. So to be able to pivot and see where you can grow your bank account with side hustles, that's probably a term we shouldn't really use anymore, but just business opportunities.
Revenue streams
is so powerful. And then I thought, I know I'm rambling here, but I just want to encourage people, the speed to getting up on these new revenue streams has increased. It's very easy to dabble and see what happens and get out without a high risk.
Hey, Leanne, welcome back to the Corporate Escapee Podcast.
Hey, Brett, how are you?
Good. It's good to have you. And thank you for being a good sport on testing this new, it's not even a new format. I mean, you and I have been talking offline quite a bit about ideas and things that Gen Xers can do. And I'm like, why don't we just record it?
Yeah.
You know, because we get a lot of feedback that people are curious about ideas. And, you know, because I talk a lot about the quickest path is just monetizing your corporate experience. And I still believe that. But I think the deeper I get, the more I realize there's some smaller opportunities. Anyway, so maybe just to refresh the audience's memory, just a little bit about who you are, podcaster for sales, NXer, however, I don't
want
to spoil it for you.
All of the above. Originally from Michigan, moved down to Florida in 08, 09. So I'm used to navigating like a financial strife situation where layoffs occur. And I sort of feel like we're in that same mode where whether it's, you know, not so much the housing market, but just corporate America is quitting on us. And so we're dealing with that same kind of impact all over again. It's very familiar. And why I want to have this conversation is I think you and I, when we first met a year ago, and I'm thinking about the space and how much it has changed already, we all felt it had to be a parallel, like to replace that whole life cycle that we had in corporate America. And I was doing that because I just felt like some of my background of being in Salesforce or enterprise product sales was where I should be. And when that wasn't happening, it was like, I felt like the pivot had to be equal to.
Right.
And through our conversations and why I think this is going to be a chance for people to listen in is I have discovered, as you have, there are multiple paths to make your income. And it's very wise because of the fact that you never know what's going to happen in the next 5 years in this space, whether it's AI or all of that. So to be able to pivot and see where you can grow your bank account with side hustles just to start, that's probably a term we shouldn't really use anymore, but just business opportunities.
Revenue streams
is so powerful. And then I thought, I know I'm rambling here, but I just want to encourage people. I thought about when we had this discussion a year ago, how to exit corporate America, the speed to getting up on these new revenue streams has increased. So I knew a lot of these things a year ago, you know, UGC, and we'll talk about some of them. I knew and explored it, but it's a $600 class here or a $1,200 class there. Now it has streamlined through the power of AI and just automating things, you can learn these things at a faster pace and do like your own pilot and see if it's going to work for you faster than you would have even a couple of years ago. So that's why I'm excited to talk about this and just share with your audience that it's very easy to dabble and see what happens and get out without a high risk.
Yeah. I mean, I think that you're right. It's 100% experimentation.
Yes.
And I did the same thing, but probably 4 years ahead of you. So I'm 5+ years out. And I tell folks that it's not a mistake because I didn't know any better. But when I left, I was looking for solo consulting gigs and I was looking at, you know, six figures because that's what you do. You want the big deals. And then once I realized consulting wasn't for me anymore, I just didn't like the, you know, the virtual stakeholders and project plans, stumbled into fractional leadership. But again, what I was looking for was something that would be a six-figure deal, right? How do I get a chief revenue office, fractional chief revenue office, that it'll, you know, get to six figures over X number of months? And what it finally dawned on me after the next phase was then I did like eight different things that monetize, from coaching, a little bit of advisory, different types of business development, that I'm like, man, there's a much quicker path to revenue. And I tell people, if you want to do fractional, if you want to do consulting, 100%. But if you want to get started quicker, find these little pockets, because small businesses need help in a lot of different ways. And if you can find a $1,000 opportunity or problem to solve or 1500, back a few of those while you look for your longer term. I think it's just a much cleaner path to success. And when you and I were talking offline and said, yeah, let's make this an episode or two and just give some ideas for folks that are sitting in corporate or thinking, yeah, and because if you're in corporate, there's no way you're going to get a fractional gig, right? Mm-hmm. There's right. too much time commitment, but there's other ways to do it. So I've got some ideas, but where do you want to start? Well, you know, let's start, you brought up UCG. I was going to bring that up. So let's talk about that because I've got some stats to kind of support some of this as well.
Yes. And stats are important because, like I said, I dabbled in that subject a couple of years ago and was too afraid to pull the trigger.
But maybe tell people we should probably tell people what it is first.
Okay. That's true. I was thinking you had Megan on, who's somebody that I followed. So
I would, but they may not have listened to that episode.
Okay. All right. So, and we're friends. So Brett can just tell me how to guide this conversation and be quiet. So it is typically a faceless opportunity. So many people who have been on social media think, oh my gosh, I'm not going to build content. I don't want to be in front of the camera. I don't know how to do any of that. I'm not a marketing person per se. And what we've discovered through UGC is that you can create content without you physically being in front of the camera for a product and sponsor or the...
Yeah, kind of what brands are looking for.
The brands, yeah. A brand will say, yes, I really like the way that you are talking about hair products, like Nutrafol. It was really big in the beginning, which was hair growth product. And so I'm only saying that because a lot of people have seen something very similar to that online all the time.
You aren't directing that towards me.
Not... Or you'd be a great before and after. Are you kidding me? They'd pay you a fortune. And so, you know, they're going to take you showing the bottle and taking it in a pill form with a glass of water or whatever it is. And you yourself don't have to be in it. So that is the niche that has become a huge gap with our age. So there are brands that want to have sponsors from people in our age group for the products that we would bring together, Nutrafol, health and wellness, whatever the product would
you
be.
Name it.
And they don't have the people in our age bracket to partner with. So it's really an enormous space that we have the ability to be in without having to be an expert and feeling like you have to have a marketing degree or a bunch of technology behind.
Or even followers, right? Because
or followers. That's
they just
the big
want
thing.
The content they can use for their social media or whatever and a host of different things. So
it's user-generated content. That's what, or yeah.
Yeah. No, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so Megan, if she's listening to this, she's like, man, you guys could have done that quicker. But we're older. We're Gen X. We're figuring out. And that's why you have a coaching business working with us to do this.
It's right.
But what really piqued it, because again, I've had some success on TikTok, that you don't need the followers and just getting comfortable with the camera. But where it really opened my eyes is after Megan was on the podcast, that became the by far number one episode that I've had, which is crazy because we've had a lot of talented and crazy, interesting people. But what it told me is there's folks that are interested in how do I make money, right? I want to replace my corporate income. Mm-hmm. I don't want to become a social media TikTok or influencer, but, you know, creating a couple of these videos and the brands will pay, what, $150, $300? You can make up to four figures if for not a ton of work, right?
Right.
And so that's why I thought, I don't know, did you ever go down the path of actually submitting? I just started reaching out to a couple of brands.
I haven't yet because I have three others that I'm positioning.
Working on.
Yeah. And so I'm afraid yet to take that on, but I know that I definitely will. I mean, and again, it's one of those where you can follow someone for a long, long time. And then it's like, well, why didn't I ever pull the trigger?
Right.
So not only is that Megan's course, and there's a lot of people that have courses out there, but Megan specifically really markets to our age group. So she has the compassion and understanding of how to guide us through being a startup in that space and make money. So she's excellent at working with us Gen Xers.
And the beauty of it is you can do it while you're still in corporate. So all of our corporate folks still out there, there's no conflict of interest. It's
yep.
Yeah. So something absolutely to to take a look at. I'm looking to see if I can't pair it with my followers, right, to find a brand that would be interested in me just creating content, but then also promoting content. That seems to be a different animal. So I think I'm going to follow Megan's path just to test
it. But you don't know where it'll lead. And I will say, you know, everyone talks about being an influencer in the TikTok shop and all of that. I did get the opportunity to be a seller or somebody that, you know, has a TikTok shop where I can make money. That I found more work. Number one, I think that for me, it didn't fit with people following me on TikTok because I wasn't an influencer. It was just me. So now all of a sudden I get to put that orange cart in my content and people, you know, you can't overdo it. Because that's not why they're there. Some people made a TikTok account and they only did it for clothes and they had a niche and it's perfect for that. But for me to disturb what I'm doing all the time to have to throw in a product so that I could maybe make $50 or $40, it didn't feel right for me personally.
Right, right. No, I think that makes sense.
Did you get the ability to put the little shopping cart in?
I have, but I haven't done it, right? So I've been like 18 months now. I've got these followers, but yet, again, shame on me because I'm sure the TikTok folks out there, I'm like, you're an idiot, man. You've got this following, you're not monetizing it at all. I mean, TikTok pays me based on the video, but it's not, there's a much bigger opportunity that I haven't cashed in on yet. So at some point, we'll come back to that if I go down a couple of these monetization strategies. But all right, so UCG is one. What's something else that's caught your eye?
What I was exploring is one that I was originally looking into, and it was rather complex when I was going to begin, which was drop shipping, right?
Interesting. Okay.
And I do have somebody here locally that does it. They have a warehouse and they do the drop shipping. And so I learned the complexities behind it, that yes, there's good money, but you have to worry about Amazon shutting your store down. And there's just a lot of variables to the physical drop shipping when you have to own the product. There is now a new wave, and this is where I talk about minimal risk, of doing e-commerce.
Okay.
So you can create your own website, and Alibaba and all of these types of sites that have the less expensive products, you can partner and see what product line you want to order from them. And when I say order, I really mean you're sponsoring their product. So you go on Alibaba and I will use my age group again, and I will do a weight loss product and I will do a hair shampoo thickener or whatever it is. I will do some makeup, some, you know, age defying type of moisturizer. And I will have those three products on my website and I will position my website as being a place to order these products. And I'm branding myself Pepper's products. And that does require a little social media to promote your website. Yeah. But that is something that's appealing to me because now I have a niche. I'm not putting a shopping cart down below all the time and someone else is shipping the product. So if your wife goes onto my website because she's interested in the skincare line that I carry, she just orders it from there and it's fulfilled from the other side.
So you don't have to do anything.
I have no product. I have no product. So the risk is minimal. You can start up with a website cost. You should order a couple of sample products from the supplier that you're working with. Make sure that your face doesn't go turn on fire. But they are used to working with, it's been a website that's been around forever. So they're used to working with US affiliates to sponsor and push out their products. To me, again, I would like to revisit this. That is a very low risk proposition to where I'm not beholden to Amazon shutting down my store. I'm not carrying product and shipping things out. God bless everybody that does do it. But that is something that I can see making $3,000 to $5,000 early on without much effort.
Right.
Hold that thought. But that is where, and I've been on several different, you know, nightly calls and free program seminars to talk to people that are doing it. And the more I dive into it, and the more I've even plugged and played into ChatGPT, like how much is really required to start, it just keeps reconfirming that I can do this at a very, very low risk, low cost profile. So I'm excited to start that.
And again, the beauty is you don't have to, the other thing I've accepted, I don't have to build the next, you know, Google or Amazon, right? You just make enough money to fund what you want to do. And it makes sense. By the way, there's somebody in the collective that's in corporate right now that did launch an e-commerce shop, and he's focused more on outdoors. Something his passion was outdoor
I was
equipment.
Just going to say golf equipment or anything like that.
So I can't give his name because he's still in corporate. But, I mean, it's, you know, great minds think alike. So I said, I'll pair you guys up.
I would love that. Yeah.
No, I like that. So this I'm going to give you one that's more tied back to some of the corporate, but with a new twist.
Yes.
Like, so business development. And what we think of traditionally is, hey, bring me in as your sales rep, right? You'll pay me a monthly salary and, you know, commission for deals. The newer model that I'm seeing, and I did something a little bit more that was similar to this, but I didn't take it to this level, is a little bit of a retainer, because I think the brand should have some skin in the game with what we're doing. Commission, right? So if you do close new deals, you get a percentage of the revenue. But what this guy's doing is also being kind of a promoter, if you will. So he's introducing him into his network, or this brand into his network. So leveraging something he already has, mm-hmm. right? If he's connecting him with podcasts that he knows. And so it's not just what I would have thought of was the traditional sales, right? This is more of making connections, leveraging your network, and then with some upside into it. So any of us, even without sales backgrounds, if we've been in corporate for a long time, have some pretty deep networks that it could be interesting. You find the right brand that you align with and make a deal for selling. Again, and maybe it's only a couple thousand a month as the retainer, but then you've got some upside if these connections do close and grow. And again, it doesn't take very much to get to K on a monthly basis. So it's a little bit different.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to agree with you and even expand that a little further, because once you do a couple of those, and you talk about it, you know, on LinkedIn and like some of the successes you've had in connecting people, your inbox will be full with people saying, hey, I also try to market to larger or small to medium-sized businesses. I'd love to connect. I've had much more success in networking within LinkedIn by just taking away my work history and just saying, I'm growth hunted. I'm there to do your sales pipeline. People have been coming to me to say, I can place you to companies. So that's number one. So it's amazing how, I don't know what the algorithm is, but they'll follow you on LinkedIn and hook up. There is a guy here in Tampa, they call him like Mr. Tampa, who's just been here for a very long time. He's been in a lot of networking groups. And to your point, Brett, a lot of businesses are coming to Tampa. We're a tax-free state. They want to get established quickly and have the right connections and highly connected. And can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're good.
So he does $4,000 retainer, $6,000 to $10,000, depending on how deep and how many connections people want. He will line up introductions. He will get you face-to-face meetings. It's like a PR firm almost, right?
Yeah.
I'm coming into Tampa. I want to start my business down here. It's tax-free. I want a little office space in downtown Tampa, but I want to speed to market my network. And when you're an executive, there's, you know, a lot of CEOs coming here and doing that. They don't have time to mess around. And you can only go to so many dinner parties or try to, you know, work through your connections in just your world. And this guy is so highly connected. City officials, he helps with permits. There's value if you're someone that's a long-term resident in the city that you reside. Don't underestimate all of those connections that you have. And you could charge your services for seeing networking with a CEO.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, it's good, right? We don't have to be awesome if we need to charge $10,000, but leverage that. Maybe it's not in Tampa, but maybe it's in the industry you're in or a company you've been with. Anything.
Correct.
That
anything
people want access to that you can. Yeah. And don't be afraid to charge for it. That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you don't want your entire network, anything just to be right. You know, quid pro quo or whatever that is. Right.
Right. Right.
But in the sense that there is opportunities there, if you want to just make a small revenue stream out of it for select opportunities. And I think just piggybacking off that a little bit, where there's an opportunity, and I've seen it firsthand, but I haven't pitched it yet, but maybe I should, is when these small businesses are looking to hire, right? In your case, in a sales exec, or in my case, go to market, head of sales, whatever it is, they don't know what they're looking for.
Yes.
Right? There's a world, and it's not too distant, where I think it could happen today. You're just a advisor or consultant helping them find that right position.
Yes.
Right? Because it's the wrong hire in these small businesses is could be catastrophic, and it's an 18-month problem. So you saying, look, I've been in, I don't care what, fine, if you're CFO, you know, it doesn't matter, CRM, if somebody's looking to hire that and you can help them go through the process, vet, maybe even introduce them to the right, you know, potential hire for it, you know, there's a fee that could be had. It's almost like a modern day recruiting firm. Mm-hmm. But it's more good. But when recruiters are hiring for companies, unless that company is dead specific about who they're hiring, they're just finding the resources and doing the legwork. You actually know the knowledge of what that position takes and the type of person that's going to be successful in that role. So again, it doesn't have to be super fancy. You don't have to put a title on it.
No, right.
But
right.
It's wherever you can add value into these orgs. And you know, like I said, on a macro picture, I think I'm definitely down in double digits where I figured out how to monetize different things. Not all of them have been great, right? A lot of effort for not a lot of return and others. So again, go ahead, Leah.
But no, that's okay, because I think that's the fear, Brett, right there, is people are going to say, oh, this didn't work for 6 months and I got to go back to corporate. Now, this is just a learning process. You have to just, you know, we're not all meant to be together when you're looking at a fractional work or a consultative job. And so be as picky as you are with them that they are with you. You have to decide, is it worth my time? Is it, am I putting in too much time? Because I will tell you, that's a very slippery slope when you take our age group with the corporate mentality we have, where you actually end up doing a lot more than what you really should.
Right.
And so that can be something I've learned definitely to balance my time. Like my hours are here. I finished this. I'm done. I don't need to boil the ocean for this person. This is what they needed. And I'm out. I've delivered it. And I've got to step out of being part of their corporate culture, you know, because it's easy to do.
It is. But again, I think you're right. Be specific on the value you're adding, where you're going to add it, get in, get out. Because I think at the end of the day, if we can find repeatable value adds, that the business, and part of where I've been, my journey recently is, you know, what's that least, I don't know if I got a better description of this, but the least common denominator of value you can add.
Yeah.
Right. One, a couple of folks in the collective are digital marketers, mm-hmm. and agency work. Mm-hmm. And they will set up the Google profile for businesses for like $100 or a couple $100. Every business that needs to be found needs to have that done, right? So to me, that's a no-brainer. Now, I'm not in marketing. That wouldn't lead to bigger opportunities for me. But what is that for what you do, right? And where I really think, again, ties back to this multiple revenue streams is people call it productized services or, you know, expertise as a service. Now, what can you do for a small business for $500 a month or $1,000 a month that solves a real problem for them, that it's repeatable for you, they can budget, it takes the risk completely out of it. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things, at least I was super guilty of, is trying to swing, and I talked about earlier in this episode, swinging for the fences, right? I want the big deal every time. But man, if I would have just started bopping out those singles, pretty soon the bases are loaded, you hit the home run and you've got yourself a, you know, you don't have to go find new clients, right? So the analogy I'll use with folks is you get, you know, $2,000 a month retainers for small businesses where you're maybe working 2 hours a month because you know what this is, you know how good you can pound this out.
Right.
Right. That's 10 hours a month for $10,000. Right.
And you're not on a bunch of Monday morning calls that you don't want to be on.
Exactly.
Well, I'm gonna question you, Brett. Have you moved forward with your idea of the plug and play resources? Because I have a thought about that as well.
Plug and play.
You're with your collective or with
It's there.
You don't have to get into it, but I.
No. I wholeheartedly believe this is where the future is going.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Because if you're engaging, the other thing I was going to say is just the connectivity with resources. If you're engaging for a small portion of SEO or whatever it is, and suddenly through conversation, they don't have HR or whatever their needs now are for their next step, payroll process or POS, whatever it is, you and I know people who have been laid off that fit the criteria of every part of a business. So all of a sudden it's, hey, I do know Roger and he's a great accountant, or I do know this. So it's amazing too, the value add you can bring when it doesn't involve you for their next step of their project internally, but to provide that referral resource, now your credibility's gone up. You feel good about getting a job for somebody else. That's another short term, and they get to get a feel for what it's like. It's just a pay it forward, repeatable process that's very, very cool for our pool of people that are out of work.
Yeah, and good karma, right? I'm a huge believer in that. And I do believe that when we start referring each other in, it's just going to multiply, because you will come across opportunities. And it was interesting in our meeting we had last week within the collective, we were talking about, because people are starting to work together and find opportunities to together. And one of the questions that comes up is, hey, I've got to know Brett, right, personally, but I've never worked with Brett. So how confident can I be pushing Brett into, bring Brett into an opportunity? I'm like, well, again, even if you're introducing somebody in for a new job, the way I talk to people and explain it is, if I know, like Leanne, you and I have never actually worked together in the same company side by side doing it. I know you as a person, so I will 100% stand behind you as a person, what your values are, the work that you want to do. And very specifically, if you're going into a business, ask them about the skill set that you need to make sure that it's in alignment.
Right.
I would always pitch a person first. And the skill, because again, if you've been doing this for 25 years, I have a high degree of confidence you know what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
And if we're marrying that with smaller businesses that need more foundational stuff, I'm 100% convinced that if I give you the right person, right, the good people that are going to come in and looking out for you, it's going to pay off. But again, I was a little surprised by the question, but when I thought about it, it's about relationships. And
we preach about it all the time, and now we're in a position where it's really important, and let's utilize the skill sets and the people that we know to keep things going in a fractional world where you're not going to have these org charts that, exist. I mean, I have, Salesforce just laid off a bunch of people for AI.
Yeah.
My nephew's fiance, they laid off their whole HR and legal. I don't know what legal AI is going to look like, but it's happening. And whether it's going to fail or not, it's just that these companies are going to be so low with headcount and wisdom and previous work experience that there's going to be gaps.
It's going to be a huge gap. And maybe we can close on this part of it, because I think big corporate is imploding. And if you follow my TikTok, you already know my take on this. But I think with AI, right? And the bigger thing, I was talking to somebody today who's building a new, he's 78, launching his next business, kind of doing the model we just talked about with the introductions and network. And he's leading with trust. Right. That's where these corporations are failing. I'm like, look, you go through a layoff, you've lost the employees' trust. You do three layoffs in a year, forget about it. That's where these small and mid-sized companies, right? These big companies will lose. They've lost trust. They're not going to be able to automate because of the silos and the way they're structured. They're going to implode. So the small and mid-sized companies have the opportunity. And where Gen Xers, I believe, are well positioned is the other line I've drawn a line in the sand is, look, if you have 10 million or less in annual revenue, you don't need full-time employees.
I know.
Right? You just don't.
We keep saying that. I know.
But people need to hear it and remind, because the fact is you're paying 70% overhead for, and again, you want command and control, then you're going to be overstaffed by the time you get there. And the other argument I've heard from business owners is, well, they won't care as, if they're not a full-time employee, they won't care. I'm like, I'm telling you right now, full-time employees don't care as much as you do about your business because you're the owner. But I guarantee you hire somebody like me or Leanne to come in and help you lead one of those functions. We care because guess what? This is our business.
Right.
If we don't deliver, we don't get the next client.
Right. That's the risk. It's on us to be able to deliver. And it provides a greater level of communication, I have found. How many 100%. Times did I talk to my manager, but maybe on a Monday, and then, you have your whole week and you go back to Monday where they're bitching about no sales. You're kind of left to yourself during the week. This is a lot of communication and revising messaging and being much more intentional in moving the pipeline than when I look back in corporate America, we ever did. We could put something out in Salesforce for 6 months. We don't care. We're still getting paid. That wasn't the truth. That wasn't really what was happening. This is much more deliberate and intentional. And that's what I think businesses are missing out.
Yeah. And why we're telling you this as corporate Gen Xers, this is where the opportunity is with these small yes. businesses. It's going to be open. Think about it. Again, you folks that listen know me, know you, and we could go pick up a CMO, right? All of us pay us, you know, $30K for some fractional thing versus 110, you'd have to pay some junior person to do one job.
Yeah.
I'd load up on Gen Xers that have 2 decades of experience to drive my business forward versus one full-time hire that I'm going to have to train, right? It's
yeah.
just
right.
the math and the risk. So part of why we're sharing this with you is this is where the opportunity is.
Mm-hmm.
And again, just be creative. Test it. There's nobody judging you except Mm-mm. you.
Right?
So
be kind
I've
to
got
yourself.
Comfortable. Yeah, I'm comfortable now. That was a dumb idea, but at least I got some feedback and I'm not going to go down that path anymore.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
there's really no wrong answers when you start to test these things and what you charge for them, you'll see. And if it's repeatable, and maybe you only need to work 20 hours a week to fund the lifestyle that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty mm-hmm. is most people will either just sit here and listen and never take action, because even the people who realize where the opportunity is still have a hard time taking action. So take action, test, experiment. And
these ideas are risk-free. To some degree, right? I mean, they're
100%.
Not replacing your corporate job. These are small, quick wins that you can do with low risk. Try it. Just try it.
And by the way, Leanne, we're gonna make this a regular segment. So we'll keep bringing you back on. You'll be my I don't know what we'll call the segment yet. We'll come up with the name, but the ideation, right? The escapee ideation session that we'll do on, because I just think there's so many things. I come across people, you come across folks
mm-hmm.
that are doing some different things. And you and I may try, somebody in the audience may run out and try this. And if we get feedback, please let us know or cut us in on it if you find something interesting. Anyway, all right. So I promised
Thanks,
you we were going to keep this one.
To and it's inspiring me to like want to keep researching out there. So I love it.
And testing. If you test something, let me know. And if you make money, if anybody out there tested something interesting and made some money off it, let me know. We'll share it with other folks, because the beauty is there's enough for everybody out there. It's not like you have to hide whatever you figured out, because there's more than enough
right.
opportunity for everybody. So
right.
awesome. All right. Well, thanks, Leanne. We'll catch up with you in not too distant future.
Sounds great. Thanks, Brett.